You may be seated. It's not a coincidence that the first time the universe hears the uttered words of God, God's voice, it was not to say, let there be joy, peace, or even love. The voice of the sovereign, the divine, the glorious, uttered the following, Genesis 1:3, let there be. God always begins by turning the lights on. Life requires light. Faith requires light. To a great degree, metaphorically and prophetically, we are living, no joke, 2023, we are living in a Genesis 1:2 moment. And darkness prevailed upon the face of the deep. We are living in dark times. Some are arguing, primarily on social media, that we are living in the darkest hour of all, darkened by sin, immorality, moral relativism, spiritual apathy, cultural decadence, infanticide, racism, pornography, poverty, violence, false prophets, watered-down preaching, hypocrisy, unbridled consumerism, voyeurism, materialism, secular tyranny, terror, discord, bigotry, division, strife, injustice, hatred, jealousy, and unbelief. We are living in some dark times. And every single time you think things can get darker, they get darker. And you could accuse me right now of becoming a bit Pollyanna-ish and optimistic. But I do believe, that's why I'm in this conference, that we, our generation, will not be defined by Genesis 1:2. We will be defined by the redemptive power of Genesis 1:3, let there be light. In the midst of darkness stems the prophetic truth, a revealed truth, an everlasting truth uttered by our Savior. Matthew 5, you know it well, 14 through 16. You, Kingdom City, you, around all the campuses around the world, so many that I can't list them, I'll be here for an hour. You are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I want to speak to you for the next 20 minutes on the subject matter, be light. When light stands next to darkness, light always wins. Tell your neighbor, the one you like the most, be light. Tell the other neighbor, the one you barely tolerate, tell that neighbor, be light. If we break down that biblical passage in chronological order, here it is, be light by who you are. You are the light of the world. Who are we? He begins by clarifying our identity. It is the quintessential query stemming from the existential womb. Who are we? We cannot be light unless we discover who we really are. We cannot be light until we repudiate every vestige of identity moratorium. There's an issue of identity. Hence, the enemy is trying to mess up an entire generation regarding identity. Because the moment you discover who you are in Christ, you change the world around you. So who are we? Who are you? What defines you? Are you defined by your past? Are you defined by your circumstances? Are you defined by what others say about you? Here's the great news from what took place on the cross. Christ defines you. You are not defined by what surrounds you. You are defined by God's Spirit inside of you. You are not defined by your circumstance. You are defined by His covenant. You are not defined by the hell you're going through. You're defined by the heaven you're going to. You are not defined by your failures. You are defined by His forgiveness. You are not defined, with great due deference, you're not defined by what took place during COVID. You're defined by what took place on the cross. And for all of my Facebook and X and Instagram and YouTube followers, you are not defined by the likes of many. You are not defined by the likes of many. You are defined by the love of one. And to all the religious folk, get over yourself. You are not defined by what you do for God. You are defined by what God already did for you. It is the cross, the empty tomb, the upper room, His blood and His word. You're defined by the Father, the Son, and the Espiritu Santo. You're defined by Galatians 2:20. My own self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. I love that. That defines. There is an attempt. There is a legitimate attempt to define us collectively. Around the world, there are just different sectors of society, influencers, who are attempting to tell us who we are. Who are we? Who are we as Christ followers? Who are we as the church? Are we just another institution in society? Are we another religious faith narrative competing in the marketplace of ideas? Are we a feel-good apparatus for the spiritually impaired? Are we an antiquated conduit for a set of irrelevant values no longer applicable in the world of AI? How this generation responds will determine whether or not, once again, light overcomes darkness. So it's time to do this. We must respond with clarity, conviction, and courage the following. Who are we? We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are people of the word. We are salt and light. We are disciples, witnesses, and Christ followers. We are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are children of the cross, fruit of the empty tomb, and product of the upper room. We are the redeemed of the Lord, the sheep of his pasture. We are forgiven, free, and favored, called and chosen, warriors and worshipers. We are the righteousness of God. We are world changers, and we are history makers. I'm going to get in trouble, but let me tell you what we're not. We're not Google. We're not Microsoft. We're not Ford. We're not even Starbucks. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell shall not, will not, may not, cannot prevail against us. If you're part of that church, praise like you're part of that church. That's who we are. We are the light of the world. So be light by who you are, which means you are not first and foremost black, white, yellow, or brown, charismatic, or automatic. All the automatic people going, huh? You're above all a born-again, blood-washed, spirit-empowered child of God. Be light by who you are, always remembering that God does not call the perfect. He calls the willing. He doesn't call the one that has it all. He calls upon those that are willing to surrender it all. Because every single time light stands next to darkness, light always wins. Be light by removing the obstacles. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you have it, you don't hide it, you let it shine. Our challenge is to remove the bowl of apathy, complacency, acquiescence, and fear, and once again lay claim to the stand of righteousness that we may shine before all men. We cannot be light until we understand something, a rubric I laid out some years ago when I first came here. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. There is no such thing as comfortable Christianity. You are what you tolerate. Truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political, cultural, or sexual expediency. And we have to reconcile our eschatology over our missiology, which means what? We believe Jesus is coming down. But while we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week, this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
What is trying to hide the light? There is a spiritual battle to turn off the light in your life, in your family, in your God-ordained purpose. It is a spiritual battle. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. There is a battle to turn off your light. There are real spirits out there. No joke. Like straight up real things going on out there. Really crazy stuff. Like we've never seen before. It's like the Krakens were all released simultaneously. The spirits, the spirit of Jezebel is alive and well, prompting men and women who carry a mantle to hide in the cave of discouragement, fear, anxiety, and confusion. The spirit of Absalom still lives, abiding homes, churches, communities, and relationships. The spirit of Nebuchadnezzar lives, demanding that a generation that carries favor, even in the midst of Babylonian captivity, bow to the lies of a false narrative that negates grace, truth, and love. The spirit of Herod still lives, killing the innocent in the womb and in the streets. Yet I have news for you. Yeah. There is a spirit. There is a spirit more powerful than all these spirits combined. I don't know if you know what I know, but I think you know what I know, that you know what I know, that you know what I know, that you know what I know. You know that I know that we know that we know that we know that we know. And the most powerful spirit on the planet is not Jezebel. It's not Pharaoh. It's not Goliath. It's not Herod. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. The most powerful spirit on the planet is still the Holy Spirit of all. If you have that spirit, praise like you have that spirit. I said, if you have that spirit, worship like you have that spirit. Shout like you have that spirit. Live like you have that spirit. Love like you have that spirit. Forgive like you have that spirit. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, that spirit is still moving. That spirit is still moving. And there's, are we streaming past? We are, right? Everywhere. I have to be very nuanced about this because of the different dynamics per nation. So let me be nuanced. There were actually, how do I put this? Padre, ayúdame a decir esto para que esta gente entienda qué es lo que vamos a decir en este lugar. There was, durante el COVID, there were people that actually put money on the idea that if one institution would not survive COVID, it would be the Christian church. No joke. Very powerful, influential, global sector leaders that have an agenda of secular totalitarianism, of ideologies that are chaotic and anarchist. And they really believed if there's one institution will not survive, COVID will be the church. Well, I don't know if you understand what this means. There's not a virus. There's not an order. There's not an algorithm. There's not a structure. There's not a force on this planet that will ever have the authority to stop the Holy Spirit of God from moving. Somebody praise like you know it. Are there any questions? Be light. By removing the obstacles, by knowing the fact the Spirit of God is still. What does this mean? It means, Pastor Sam, but there's things are getting dark. What about this whole thing with AI now? And some of the predictions about AI? And what about this, like the UFOs and the aliens? And what about LeBron not winning with the Lakers? I mean, there are certain things. There are legitimate questions out there. And boy, every time darkness, what happens? It doesn't matter. Every single time light stands next to darkness, light always wins. But what happens if something new emerges? It doesn't really matter. Because for every Pharaoh, there must be a Moses. For every Goliath, there must be a David. For every Nebuchadnezzar, there must be a Daniel. For every Jezebel, there must be an Elijah. For every Herod, there must be a Jesus. And for every devil that dares rise up against you, there is a mightier God that will rise up for you and your family. And that's the promise of God. So it's time to remove the bowl, to shake off whatever life or hell has placed upon your life. Always remembering that what you can't shake off, Jesus washes off. That you are here, not because you perfectly held on to God, but because God perfectly held on to you. you are here because what God has placed inside of you is greater than anything hell can place in front of you. You are here because you learned the following adage: when life throws you rocks, you build an altar. 1 John 2:8, I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you. The darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. The final point here. Are there any questions? Be light by where you stand. Chronological order. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone. The stand represents a facilitated platform on which we shine the light of Christ. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? We stand on the undeniable and unshakable reality that Christ is the hope of glory. We stand on John 14:6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We stand on righteousness and justice. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. We stand on a cross that is both vertical and horizontal. It is both heaven and earth, righteousness and justice, sanctification and service, holiness and humility, truth and love, conviction and compassion, the prophetic and the practical, missions in the marketplace, orthodoxy and orthopraxy, ethos and pathos, John 3:16 and Matthew 25. It is both the New Jerusalem and KL Malaysia and Perth Australia and Dubai. I shared this morning, and if you weren't here in any of the morning services, raise your hand. If you were not here. If you were not, wow. Okay, so it's then it merits me repeating this. I lived this out this past year, October, November. My wife and I, we preached a series about the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings chapter 4. We illustrated with a door. We went through the door as an illustration. Immediately thereafter, our church, by the grace of God in Sacramento, we have multiple campuses, but the Sacramento campus, God really blew up the church with a great harvest, except that the auditorium size is de minimis. And it's hard in California, very difficult. And we were in desperate need. We got a little, the county came in and told us, you all have too many people in your church. And they're threatening and all that sort of thing, right? So we get this call. Here's the call. Pastor Sam, from a prominent ministry in California. Pastor Sam, we did not survive COVID. Our people left. We have a property of 80 acres strong, worth $75 to $80 million on the highway frontage area of the region. We have an auditorium that fits 3,000, a second auditorium that fits 1,000, a third auditorium that fits 300. And would you be interested in coming in, merging, taking over the ministry? My wife and I saw it as an answered prayer. Our church did, our board actually. We went like, this is it. I mean, what are the chances? We preach a sermon, we walk through the door, we get a call. And this must be it. So we met, we had preliminary meetings, a handful of them. And the preliminary meetings were all super positive. And then it happened. Pastor Sam, let's formalize this. We would like you to bring in your board, and your board will meet with our board. We'll sit down, formalize the agreement, draft an MOU, and then we'll take it from there. We'll execute accordingly. We were excited. I met with my team at Starbucks and that beautiful sanctuary, our campus called Starbucks. Put aside the Jezebel cups. Anyway, so we it is what it is. Almond milk latte. Yes. So we sat down at Starbucks and we debriefed, right? So we're debriefing, and Pastor Sam, okay, we're going into a meeting, guys. We're right across the street. So what questions do you think you're going to ask? They never gave us a list of questions. Pastor Sam, integration of systems, check. Fiduciary governance elements, yes. Legal risk management, yes. Attrition, yes. Let dirt people being let go, and yes. They're probably going to ask questions about whether or not you're going to have a Slavic service, a Slavic community in the region, a Spanish service, etc. Yes. So we got everything set. We walk in there. All right, we prayed, Lord, help us. We walk across the street, and we go into the meeting. My team sits right here, and their team sits right here. All of a sudden, here it is, in this order. Pastor Sam, we want to begin. The first question we have for you, and I'm thinking, here it is. Well, fiduciary governance systems, integration. And I was even open to they're going to ask me, why do I preach so fast? And why do I get so excited? And all of that is just simple, anointing plus the coffee. So I'm ready. And I'm going, yes. And then, just like this, The guy looks at me and says, Pastor Sam, here's our first question. Our church, we, talking about political, cultural, theological context, our church, we lean left. Where do you lean? This is my facial response. Because I am first and foremost, believe it or not, a comedian. So before I even heard prophetic God, no, my mind told me, dude, you have enough jokes here for the next 3 years. We lean left. Where do you lean? Then the next thing that happened is both a sign and a wonder. Nothing came out of my mouth. Nothing. And nothing came out of my mouth. My team is looking at me like, say something, Pastor. And we lean left. Where do you lean? And this is me. Because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit is telling me, Samuel, Sammy, say it. Answer them. Answer them, Sammy. And I didn't want to. Because if I would say what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say, we weren't going to get that building. And the Holy Spirit said, Sammy, say it. So I'm looking. Sammy, say it. So finally I looked up and I said, sir, thank you for your question. With great due deference, our church, new season, we don't lean. We stand. We stand. We stand. I said we stand. We stand on the word of God, the promises of God, the finished work of Jesus. Everything the Bible calls holy, we call holy. Everything the Bible calls sin, we call sin. Kingdom City, you're not a church that leans left or leans right. You are a church of Christ followers that stand. Lift up your hands if you're standing. Repeat after me, I don't lean. I stand. In my house, in my family, in my home, in my relationships, in my generation, in my city, I don't lean, I stand. Somebody shout like you're about to shine like you've never shined before. All the standing believe, you're stand with me. You are standing, stand with me. We don't lean, we? We don't lean, we? We don't lean, we? We don't need Christians that lean. We need believers that stand. Stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand firm. Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God when it's all said and done, when you've done everything else, stand. Stand. We're about to see the church stand. No more leaning. No more leaning. We stand. And we stand not only in conferences. We stand not just in here, we stand up out there. You're standing with me. Be light by what you do. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Shine, 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 shine. When asked, what do Christians do besides going to church on Sunday and complaining about things Monday through Saturday? Here's my response. We love. We forgive. We bless our enemies. We pursue righteousness. We quench the thirsty, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger. We take care of the orphan and the widow. We preach the word in and out of season. We worship in spirit and in truth. We do justice. We love mercy. We walk humbly before God. We are light and we stand. 1 Samuel 3:3, powerful verse. The lamp of God has not gone out yet. The brightest light is when all the colors of the spectrum merge together. And Kingdom City elevates. You literally live that out. In all that you do in all of your campuses, you look like heaven.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.